I don't like the word work-life balance. I know exactly what you mean there, but I call it work-life integration because, you know, I have a business trip this week. I never travel for work, but this week and next week I have a two-night and a three-night, deal. And so that work-life balance is going to be way off, right? I'm going to be working for 2 or 3 days at a trip and where I won't be doing as much family stuff, right? I'm missing some of my kids' games. I never do that. I hate it. But work calls and you got to go do those stuff. So I think it's integration. I think it's a lot of communication. And right before this, I was texting with my wife and, confirming on who's going what location, since there's, always 100 places to be after work with the kids stuff. And so it's just, I think it's communication, but it's also scheduling it. I go through and work pretty diligently on a 90-day plan. And my experiences / my kids' sporting events and our family experiences are all scheduled, for the next 90 days. And so we know what that's like. And then, again, we just have to over-communicate and show up and make things happen and be at the games, be at the practices, and be as involved as you can. And I coach a lot. Like during the summer, I coach baseball. Here, starting in November, I'll be coaching basketball for 4 or 5 months. And so it's busy, right? And so that sometimes that takes over, and I have to leave work at 3 o'clock to get to a practice or a game. And so the balance part is really tough because one will sometimes certainly always outweigh the other. So as long as they're integrated the right way, and again, with strong communication with my team at work and then obviously my wife at home, that's how we make it all work.
Welcome to Parenting Teens Today with Jesse LeBeau.
All right, we're back in it another week. We have the amazing, he's a husband, he's a father, he runs his own financial company, he's got a podcast, there's a lot of things going on, but maybe most exciting at this time is first of four going off to college right now. What's going on, Brett? Talk to me.
What's up, Jesse? Thanks for having me, man. It's kind of crazy. Our oldest of four boys has flown the nest and is in college, and it's crazy. They don't teach you that in parent training. Parent training 101 does not include the college drop-offs. So it's been good though, and he's having a blast, which makes it easier on mom and daddy's learning and going to class and also having a lot of fun. So all good.
Good. Now we got to get into it. Were there tears on
the allergies side? Were bad that day, man. My allergies were bad. There was a guy cutting onions in the dorm room, I think. Yeah, there were tears. I was, I didn't know what to expect, but yes, there were tears. And then, my youngest, so number two and number four was able to go. Number three wasn't able to go, but, yeah, there were definitely tears, and it was hard. But now when we left yesterday from Parents Weekend, it was a little easier.
Okay. All right. So in what school are
they? He's at Mizzou, University of Missouri.
Okay. Oh, awesome. Awesome. And how far is that away from you guys?
2 hours. So it's nice. We can be there pretty quickly.
I feel like that's perfect. Yes. They're enough away, they can have their independence, they can have some space, but hey, you need to come back for the weekend, something's going on, Thanksgiving,
right.
It's easy.
It's easy.
I love it. Okay, so cool. Can we rewind maybe here for a second and talk a little bit about your background? I know you got the family life going on, but what about young Brett growing up that got you into this position, the whole backstory? Can we jump into it?
Yeah, sure. I grew up in a town called Mattoon, Illinois, in the central part of Illinois, and with mom and dad, and I'm an only child, and hence the four kids. I wanted a big family when I was an only child, and so, but grew up there, man, just played sports and went to school and then went to Eastern Illinois University and played a little golf, and then also joined a fraternity, met my wife on spring break down in Florida, and obviously telling a quicker side of the story here, but yeah, met my wife on spring break down at Harpoon Harry's in Panama City Beach, Florida, and happened to go to the same university. And so after college, graduated, got into the financial business, and started in 2001 when I graduated from college. So, but yeah, as a kid, man, I was entrepreneurial and mowed some yards. I sold candy at school. I, was trying to do all sorts of things to try to learn and be successful.
So we're supposed to believe you guys didn't know each other at the same school. It ran into each other. That's the real story.
Literally, we were at the same bar, and I jokingly tell my kids we're at the library on spring break, but we were at the same bar.
Yeah.
And
studying.
I saw her, started talking to her. Where do you go to school? She said Eastern Illinois University. I said, holy smokes, so do I. And now, you know, 25, 26 years later, whatever it's been, and four kids, here we are. So pretty crazy.
Wow. And how far into it did you know she was the one? Let me,
what's Man, the, pretty quickly. Pretty quickly. I mean, probably a couple months in, I was like, I could see myself marrying this girl. So it was pretty wild. And, you know, to be young, and we were, gosh, I think I was, you know, we were both 20. Maybe, yeah, I think I was 20. She was, I like to tell her she's a lot older than I am. She's 7 months older. So
there you
she
go. Was,
she, we met a month later, she turned 21. So okay. It was pretty cool.
Wow. And then what age did you guys get married?
23. So graduated college in May of 01 and got married in October of 01. So pretty quickly.
Wow. Yeah. Didn't take too long and no looking back. You said 25
no looking back.
Years.
Yeah. So we're here we are 23 years of marriage and 25, 26 years together. So it's been a good run so far.
Well, I want to go real quick down your business journey and then come back to the family, because we're all about parenting and teenagers and trying to raise a family in today's modern world. But before we go that way, tell me, you said you're always entrepreneurial. How did it work out with you with the finance industry? Did you go into that immediately? Was this something you switched around a little bit? What's the story there?
Yeah, no, it's something I went into right out of college. I had a cousin, Dean, who was successful as a, what they called back then as a stockbroker, and I knew I wanted to do that, and so I went to a job fair at my last year of college, and there was two companies at the job fair. I actually worked at the first one for 6 weeks and had a very unfortunate event. The mentor that I was assigned to died by suicide, jumped off a building actually, and it was just terrible. And I thought to myself, this isn't for me. I don't think I should be in this business. I was dusting off my resume and I got a call. So this is 6 months after now the job fair, and it was the recruiter from the other company that I was talking to, and they said, hey, we'd love for you to come in. I said, look, I don't think the finance business is for me. And then, you know, we talked a little bit more and she said, just come in. I said, okay, I'll come in basically for practice. And then that practice interview turned into a 12 and a half year career at that company. And then 10 years ago, left that one and, started my own, wealth management, company, an independent RIA here called Visionary Wealth Advisors. And so, but this is all I've ever done is serve clients and work with them, and entrepreneurial, where you go out and find your own business. Nobody gives you a paycheck. You got to go out and earn it. And that's all I've ever done since college.
Wow. And so your services of what you guys do now is really helping people manage their wealth. What is it exactly that you guys do?
Yeah, we certainly do. I mean, that's exactly what we do, is we manage wealth. And so whether that's investments, it's college planning, it's estate planning help, it's, you know, helping with tax planning with their accountants or their attorneys, whatever it may be. I always joke and say we're like the psychologists, you know, so we're also doing life planning and business planning with our clients and just really getting in their lives and helping them achieve a future greater than their past. That's our mission. It's my personal mission as well, is, you know, taking them off the treadmill of life. As you know, probably the people you talk to a lot, life is busy, right? And so we go to work all day. We go to kid events, you know, all night. We come home, you got to eat some dinner, go to bed, and you do it all over again. And so I'd like to say we take the role of taking you off the treadmill of your busy life and setting it to the side and then focusing on you, whether that's an hour a year or 5 hours a year, whatever the time is. We really want to focus on those goals, those dreams, those ambitions that you have, and then we go out and help you make those and turn those into reality.
I love it. Talk to me now about work-life balance. This is something that's always interesting to hear people's take on it. Having four kids, family man, husband, father, how does that all work out and show up in your life, good or bad?
Yeah, it absolutely. And if I can, I don't like the word work-life balance. I know exactly what you mean there. But I call it work-life integration, because, you know, I have a business trip this week. I never travel for work, but this week and next week I have a 2-night and a 3-night, you know, deal. And so that work-life balance is going to be way off, right? I'm going to be working for 2 or 3 days at a trip, and where I won't be doing as much family stuff, right? I'm missing some of my kids' games. I never do that. I hate it. But, you know, work calls and you got to go do that stuff. So, So yeah, I think it's integration. I think it's a lot of communication. And right before this, I was texting with my wife and, you know, confirming on who's going what location, since there's, you know, always 100 places to be after work with the kids stuff. And so it's just, I think it's communication, but it's also scheduling it. You know, I go through and work pretty diligently on a 90-day plan, and my experiences / my kids' sporting events and our family experiences are all scheduled, you know, for the next 90 days. And so we know what that's like. And then again, we just have to over communicate and show up and make things happen and be at the games, be at the practices, and be as involved as you can. And I coach a lot. Like during the summer, I coach baseball. Here, starting in November, I'll be coaching basketball for 4 or 5 months. And
nice.
And so it's busy, right? And so that sometimes that takes over, and I have to leave work at 3 o'clock to get to a practice or a game. And so the balance part is really tough, because one will sometimes certainly always outweigh the other. So as long as they're integrated the right way, and again, with strong communication with my team at work, and then obviously my wife at home, that's how we make it all work.
Yeah, it sounds very intentional. It's like you say, it's 90 days in advance. All right, here's the time. Here's what we're designating for our family. Here's what we're designating for work. Sometimes it's going to be out of whack a little bit, not exactly balanced, but integrated.
That's
and
right.
And then you can kind of take it from there. Has it always been like this, or is this something you learned from trial and error over the years?
Yeah, it's pretty much always been that way. I think the joy of being an only child is my parents, you know, they didn't miss anything. And so I think I knew that it was kind of my value system when I knew we were going to start having children, is I wasn't going to miss anything. And my dad, you know, my dad worked, my mom worked at the home with me. And so when my dad would work, he would never prioritize something else over my event. And so that's just the way, thankfully, I was born and raised, and I do the exact same thing. And so I'm not going to pick, you know, going to play a certain golf thing or go to this work, you know, networking event because I'm going to miss it for a kid's game. It just, that doesn't really ever happen. Now, don't get me wrong, I miss every now and then if I'm out of town on a golf trip or something like that. But by and large, you know, you got to show up and be there for your kids. And so early on, when our oldest was, my wife was pregnant, we started doing Wednesdays. I would come home at 3 o'clock, and it just was my time to, I knew Wednesdays I'd be home at 3 o'clock, and it also gave my wife some time to, maybe if she wanted to go run errands or get out of the house, you know, with a newborn, there's a lot, right? And you're kind of, could feel like you're almost, I don't want to say stuck, but you're, you know, you're at home with this baby and there's not much you can do. And so that was our way to say, okay, let's show up every Wednesday at 3 o'clock. We'll be together as a family. If you need to go do some stuff, or we want to go do some stuff, have it scheduled. So to your part of being intentional, a lot of our stuff is scheduled out. So I manage the calendar, and you can't manage time, but you can manage yourself. And so as long as it's scheduled and, again, over-communicated, that's how we make it all work.
Turns out communication, kind of a big deal in a relationship. Crazy. Go figure.
Go figure. That's right.
And big shout out to your dad for setting an awesome example and making you a priority growing up. I mean, it's pretty well researched at this point that kids are sponges, and they're patterning and mirroring everything that they're seeing. And for you to have that example, which so many people don't have that. And so what a huge blessing, blessing
for
you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I know you have these five F's when it comes to your kind of business in life philosophy. Can you kind of break that down? Cause I know family is one of them. So that's where I want to get with this.
Yeah, and it's I've actually updated. I need to change my bio on my site.
Okay,
F to the sixth power. But F to the sixth power, it's my faith, my family, my fun, my firm, my fitness, and my finances. And so that's really the six Fs of everything that I try to make my decisions based around those six Fs. So if it's, you know, somebody sends an email or a phone call or a request, whatever it may be, does it move the needle in one of those areas? And so that's really what I'm looking at. And again, my 90-day plan, fun is certainly part of that. You know, I will go in once a quarter, and at the end of the quarter, so coming up here in September, I will go through my camera roll. How many times do we take pictures and you never look at them? And I do a gratitude practice to where I go in, I look at every single picture I took, and I take a lot of pictures. I take a look at every picture, and I physically write it down. Like, hey, was on a podcast with Jesse on this date. I went to dinner with my, you know, wife and kids on this date. I went to parents' weekend and did this, 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 and this. And so I write everything down, and then I look at it, and I practice gratitude to be able to say, gosh, look what we just did in the last 90 days. How awesome. And these don't have to be trips overseas, right? These are like, I literally went to dinner with my wife and kids, and we were all around the dinner table. As the kids get older, and with four kids, it's tough for that to happen sometimes, right? And so that's amazing, and I want to write that down. I want to celebrate it. But then the key is the next 90 days, then I spend about 10 or 15 minutes, maybe 20 minutes, Googling things to do in the area. So maybe it's a concert, maybe it's a sporting event, maybe it's whatever it is, right? And we will start to schedule those experiences and make sure those go on there. So when I think about F, that's intentional fun, right? That we're going out and creating experiences that we want to do together. And then, you know, my faith, setting goals there in the next 90 days, you know, how many books I want to read and go to church, you know, things like that that are important. It just allows me to schedule the things that are most important in my life, my faith, family, fitness, firm, and fun, and finances, right? And set the finance goal of here's what I want to do in the next 90 days. I want to save X amount of dollars, or I want to be able to donate X amount of dollars. Here's the plan, and here's how we're going to make it happen.
I love it. When did you start this gratitude practice? Is this something you've been doing a long time? What's the history with that?
Yeah, I've been journaling since July of 2005. So, I mean, a long time. And these, you know, this little black journal, it's the same one. There's a, actually, there's some of them back here. They're all filled out. So it's just been part of my life. But the gratitude part, probably about 4 or 5 years, when I really look at it and think about the stuff that we get to do. We're blessed, right? People that have the ability to listen to this podcast. There's little things that you can go do that, again, don't cost money. But if we look at them from a point of gratitude versus just taking it for granted, it's a totally different spin for me. And so now I'm able to be more in the moment. I think when you're building businesses and you're building a family, it's sometimes hard to be in the moment, right? Maybe you're thinking about the business when you're changing a diaper, right? Or you're thinking about being at home and you got a newborn, but you're at work, and it's tough, right? And I think that commitment to a process and commitment to journaling and writing things down is arguably one of the most important things that I've done in my 24 years of work, is writing down my goals, my dreams, my aspirations, my thoughts, my feelings, but then also practicing gratitude.
So what are like the biggest, I suppose, effects that you've seen before and after when it comes to this practice of gratitude, besides being in the moment, or maybe that is it. I'm just curious.
Yeah, I think I like, here's an example. So I looked at yesterday, we were at lunch at Mizzou, you know, kind of that last lunch before we leave our son. You know, I won't see him for a month. And that's, you know, that's going to be at this point, it'll be the longest time in his life that I've never not seen him for a month. And so, you know, that's hard. But, you know, I'm looking here and they were looking at a video on their phone while we're waiting for food. But it was number one, number three, and number four. And they were together. Number one was in the middle. You know, he had his arms around him and just watching that, right? And so I literally took a picture of the candid shot because I want to remember it, because I'm thankful that we got to do that. Now, was that a big deal? No, everybody goes to lunch, right, with their kids, and they do those things. But for me, it was like, gosh, look at these kids together, happy that they're together. They love each other, right? Like, that was just important to me. And so that is an example of something so small, but yet I know that in a couple of weeks when September ends, that I will look at that and have gratefulness and thankfulness in my heart that we got to have that time together at lunch. So as silly as that may be to some, it's important to me. And so it makes me feel more thankful for the opportunities that God's given us to be able to go out and do.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. I love that you're doing that and that it's benefiting your life. I'm curious, of all these pictures that you're taking, how many of them end up on the internet, on social media, for strangers to partake in?
Probably about 10% of them.
Yeah. So it's for you.
I mean, yeah. I mean, like, so I made a post yesterday about enjoying family weekend and put some highlights from the week. But yeah, I mean, my kids know, my friends know. I mean, I'm always taking pictures, and it's not everything is going to go on social media. I can post just like anybody else. But same to your point, though, it's, you know, 10% of those are going online.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I was at a pool at a resort yesterday, and I was like, watch this. Here comes three young girls come down to the pool, and I could tell immediately. Let's see how much time they're actually here and how much time they're on their phones.
Yeah.
And we watched them, and 80% of the 2 hours they were there, they were doing photo shoots, posting their beverage with the palm trees and the sand in the background. There's no way they enjoyed the experience as much as someone who's just there, maybe even getting a chuckle out of them, not on the phone, and just being, like you said, present. And it is just an absolute sickness. And so it's so funny because everyone is susceptible to it. Young, old, it doesn't matter. It could be about you. It could be about your kids. It could be about your thing. And when it comes to this point where you're like living your life to put on a show for other people, it's such a hard, the relationship with the phone and the relationship with social media, and the internet, is just such a bizarre thing that I don't know if anyone has it figured out or down, because there's a lot of great things about all these things that we utilize and use. You're able to capture these moments. I'm not going to remember this, but I can, like, to have it, to print it out, to look back at any time, to post it on and show and share these joyful memories with your family and friends. It's amazing, but I do think it's out of whack a lot of times for most people when they're need for attention and feeling of self-worth is based on those things. So
yeah, for sure.
I love the gratitude thing though, and I want to go back to it real quick, because that's something that we really work on with the kids and families that we work with. And I got this from a dear friend of mine. Her name is Dr. Elizabeth Lombardo. But basically almost any situation a kid can be going through, whether it's they are stressed out because they're trying to get into that Ivy League school, excuse me, or they're going through something difficult at home, or bullies, friends, you name it, almost a surefire solution that can help to varying degrees is get them volunteering and helping someone else. Because so often we're so focused on our own life and the things that we're struggling with and going through, whether it's big problems or little problems, if you can not focus and be obsessed with yourself and focus on all the things that you're unhappy with in your own life, but pour into other people, it completely changes your perspective and all these things. So I am such a big proponent of the attitude of gratitude and the little things. Like you said, it's just the little things. We're all here together at the table at dinner. We're all getting to spend this time. We're having these moments. It's so, so huge. So I love that you're seeing that and then creating these opportunities for you to focus on that. And that's a big problem that I see with therapy today. Focusing, ruminating on all the things in your life you're unhappy with, which is reinforcing a bad habit. So you've taken that bad habit out as best you can and replaced it with a positive one that absolutely changes your life. So I just love that. And I love that example. And I appreciate you sharing that.
Yeah, if I could. So that's all this is. So I created a journal, Achieving a Future Greater Than Your Past. It's actually on Amazon. And it's a 90-day journal. So this is 24 years of my life of into one place. You know, the journaling since July of 2005. I've learned a lot and failed a lot. And so this is all the stuff that I know works and has worked for lots of people that we've helped them help with. And it's something I coach with today with clients or advisors of a process to get you through these 90 days with focus, intention, being present, right? Feeling gratitude in our hearts, right? And so that's all right there. So,
love it.
Yeah.
And it's just on Amazon. People can grab it.
That's right.
Beautiful. So I'm curious, at 23, fairly young in today's standards for getting married, how prepared do you think you were to be a husband, a married man, a father? Looking back on it, knowing what you know now, prepared at all, not prepared, how would you rate it?
Well, that'd probably be a podcast you'd have to ask my wife for that one. I don't know. you know, I think it's as prepared as you can be at 23. You know, I look back and I don't even know what we did. We talk about that sometimes, like what do we do when we didn't have kids? You know, we'd go to work, come home, but it seemed like we were always busy and it just keeps getting busy. But I think, you know, when you're committed and you're with somebody you love and you are a person of values, I mean, just don't do anything stupid, right? And just go out and try to be a good person and the other person grows with you. And I'd say that's one thing that I'm thankful for, that my wife and I have both grown, you know, together, and we're both focused on, you know, self-improvement and doing well or doing good in our community and, you know, trying to raise good, you know, humble, passionate young men. And So think we've done it together. So it's either luck or just we were prepared and we didn't know it or what. But that's the way it's worked.
Yeah. And how old were you when the first one popped out?
Let's see. I was 27, I think.
Okay.
So, yeah, so 27 years old.
Four boys.
Yeah. My oldest will be 19 next month. So whatever, I'm 46. So whatever that is. I do math all day. So I mean, you know, I was 27 ish. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Around 27. And what are some of the things that you've learned along this journey of raising four young men and still in the process of doing it in an ever changing world where when we grew up, there wasn't, you know, all the focus on cell phones and connecting in just a totally different world, pre and post internet as well.
Yeah.
Would you mind sharing just a couple of things that you've learned along your journey with your family?
Well, one, kids are crazy, right? And so, you know, anytime you can get four boys in a room, what I learned, what I'm still learning, and my wife would tell you this too, is I don't understand the sibling, you know, fights. And they're not even really like fights. They just want to screw with each other, right? And so as an only child, I didn't know that. If I wanted that toy, I would go get that toy and it would be mine to play with. But my kids see a ball on the ground and one goes to get it, the other one wants it. And so I think just learning through that process is that that's normal and that's okay. But it did take me a while to realize that and understand it. But I think you got to love them for who they are individually. They're all different. You know, they look different. Well, they're all, you know, I think cute kids, but they all are, have their own unique, ways of where they go about life. And so I think understanding that, it's going to be difficult, but it's also the most rewarding job in the world. I always tell people that it's the hardest and the best job in the entire world, being a parent. And so I think just being open to learning and learning from your mistakes, and you know, some mistakes took me longer to learn than others. But also, again, back to this communication thing, I think communication with your spouse and knowing that you got each other's back and to connect and stay connected with each other. And that you got your mom's, you got their mom's back, more than you got their back, but you're here for them.
Yeah. It seems like everything with you is very intentional and thought out in advance and game planned. Is that the same case for you and your wife? You talked about how you've grown together in the same direction. And we hear all the time, like, oh, this is the person that I love and I marry that I've been with, but we just kind of have grown apart. Like we've, over time, we're going in different directions. Is that something for you guys that you've had to intentionally take action and steps towards to being on the same page and working together throughout all the craziness that is raising four boys?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I mean, look, at the end of the day, it is difficult, but, and I don't mean to keep saying this, but we got to communicate. I mean, if you look at most marriages fail because of a couple things, it's communication and money, right? And if we can communicate, then that will work. And that could even, because you can obviously communicate and have no money and still have a great marriage, right? But those are really, from what I've experienced and what I've heard, is those are the two biggest indicators of why marriages fail. And so, but I also think, you know, we saw my parents have been married for a long, long time. Her parents have been married for a long time. You know, they're both over 50 years of marriage. And so there's 100 years of marriage plus combined between her parents and my parents. We've had a good kind of, you know, movie to watch in front of us, right? Of what to do and not to do. And be together. But yeah, I mean, you know, she's reading good books. I'm reading good books. And you know, we'll go to our son's practice, you know, last week, and we went on a 3-mile walk together, and it's like while he's at practice. And so it's like that was a time to talk, right? Because we can go hours upon hours and not talk, and maybe even go all day almost and not even see each other, right? If I'm at work and she's doing her thing or going to see a client, and I'm, you know, come home and I go to this soccer practice, she goes to that baseball game. Like tonight, I probably won't see her till, you know, 8:30 tonight. But she's going to be at a kid event. I'll be at a kid event. And then I'll end up with one kid at the other kid event, right? So I think it's working on it and making each other a priority and then also making the kids a priority.
Yeah. I'm curious. You said the financial part. And I've heard that too. I think everyone probably has. That's a big part of conflict and arguments in relationships. And you, with working so with so many different families over the years and just different people, What are some of the biggest mistakes that you see people making when it comes to their finances?
Yeah, I think making rash decisions with their money on dumb purchases. We see a lot of people that make these quote unquote investments in stuff, and they just weren't very well thought out. And so, you know, they're living out dreams that they may have that they really can't afford that dream. So I think that's the one, is buying stuff or investing in stuff that they probably shouldn't be able to invest in. They're looking for the quick return. And there's so many places out there that you can say, oh, hey, give me some money and you're going to get, you know, a 30% rate of return on this. And it's like, you know, I'd be very careful, right? And so I'm not saying those things don't exist. I just think that the money failure can happen is when you try to get a quick return and it's not well thought out. That's really where I've seen the worst financial decisions be made. But at the end of the day, thankfully, we work with a lot of very, very successful people, and they're smart financially and they have goals and dreams. And then we work together and help them continue to make smart decisions. But I always tell people, look, I'm the sounding board. So if you are getting this thing pitched to you, come to me. Let me be the no guy. Let me be the one to tell you no, and you can tell that person no based on my experience. This is what I've seen. You know, and I work with 40 other financial advisors in our firm that if I have a question on something, I can go to one of them and get their, you know, opinion of it, right? And so we have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years of experience inside of our firm that we've all seen it, right? When you work with this many individuals, as our firm collectively does, we've seen a lot of stuff, and from businesses to investments to you name it, we've seen quite a bit of it. So we're usually a pretty good sounding board.
Yeah, it sounds like it. That's a lot of years when you add it all together there.
Yeah.
What is your favorite part of being a dad?
Oh, man. That's a great question. My favorite part of being a dad is watching my boys do something that they love to do. And just seeing them smile is awesome. You know, just watching them even come home from school. And, you know, it used to be the big hug and a big kiss. Now it's the, you know, the bro hug, the, you know, all those types of things that you do now. And it's, you know, just, but again, just seeing them do what they like to do, whether that's playing a sport or just outside playing with friends or jumping in a swimming pool or running in the ocean. It's pretty cool. Pretty cool to see.
Yeah. Yeah. I think deep down, that's what every parent wants for their kid, is just to see them be happy, see them fulfilled and living out their dream, whatever that looks like. That's awesome.
Well, having four boys, you hear all the time too, oh, don't you know how that happens? Or, oh, I'm trying for that girl. And it's like, no, man, I'm trying for a healthy baby. You know, it's like, that's what you want, is healthy children that, to your point, that are just happy.
Yeah, it's huge. Yeah, it's huge. When you really boil it all down, it's like, yeah, we just want them to have fingers and toes and be able to walk and run and laugh and make friends and have a great time.
Yeah.
I'm curious if you're open to sharing, what's been the most challenging part to fatherhood for you?
Boy, I think the most challenging part, that's another great question. I think just I think I mentioned earlier on something, there's no rule book, right? They don't tell you how to manage certain emotions. They don't tell you how, when they get their driver's license and then, you know, they want to stay out a little bit later, and they don't, you know, there's just not a rule book for that stuff. And thankfully, you know, my kids are, I think, good kids, and they, you know, they're not out getting in trouble and doing things. I'm sure they're having fun just like everybody else. But I think the most challenging part is I would say big kids, big problems, little kids, little problems. And it's, you know, trying to be there for them. But also teaching them and educating them on, you know, if you see a guy or a gal in the corner of the lunchroom sitting by themselves, like, go say hi to them, right? And I think the world today is so full of negative energy and just negative stuff in the news and the media and, I mean, everything, right? And it's like, the biggest challenge for us is just making sure they understand that what we stand for, our values and our vision for a great life, and making sure that they can live that too in a world that's crazy, quite honestly. That's the thing that scares me the most and has been the biggest challenge, is making sure your kids are getting off on the right foot and trying to be a good person in society, you know, when they're done with college and go out in the work life.
Yeah, it's so easy to get tribal today, right, with the internet, and find this little thing, and like you said, focusing on the things that outrage us and make us upset. It's funny, my mom used to do the same thing with me. She'd say, see the invisible people at school.
Yeah.
Particularly in a lunch for a lot of kids, knowing this work from my own experience, but then just working with kids.
Yeah.
That's kind of the scariest time, because everything else throughout the school day is kind of regimented, and they're supposed to be in a place and sit in a seat, and they don't have to stand out. But lunch is kind of the wild, wild west. You know, they can sit wherever they want. They can do different things. And so there's kids that don't have that friend or connections and that kind of thing. And if you can go out of your way to, like we say, be the friend that you want to have. So many people feel like they don't have friends. It's like, okay, well, why would someone want you to be their friend? Would you be a good friend to them? Let's start there. And you're going to attract that when you're putting that out into the world. So I got one final question for you, Brett. If you were going to go back to your 27-year-old self, and you were going to give yourself one piece of advice for your journey of being a parent with these four boys that are on the way, what would that piece of advice be?
Relax. Everything's going to be all right. You know, I think you get stressed as, you know, if you're like, I'm, you know, I like to think I charge pretty hard, and I, you know, try to run a successful business, and it's like my fifth baby, right? If you think about your kids and then your business, I mean, it's like a baby, right? And so there's a lot of stress early on. You know, I remember, like, you know, when you're trying to get clients and you're trying to pay a mortgage and you're trying to raise kids and, you know, all those things, it was tough early on. And I think that if I had to tell myself that 27-year-old Brett, I'd say, hey, dude, it's going to be all right. Relax and enjoy the ride.
So good. I'm taking that advice for myself. That's something that I'm still working on. When same thing, you know, like you've got all these things going and you're trying to enjoy the journey. Be here right now. Dude, I appreciate you taking the time to do this, and I'm really looking forward to everyone hearing this. Where can people go to find out more about you, the business, all the things that you have going on?
Yeah, I have a website. You can just go to my name, brettgilliland.com, and that'll kind of direct you to my other businesses, right? So visionarywealthadvisors.com is another one. Swing for Hope, F-O-R-E, hope.org is a charity my wife and I started in 2007 to raise money for cancer. You know, so you can find us on all there, on all those spots. But then Instagram and LinkedIn are really the ones I'm most active in.
Awesome. Dude, well, thank you for how you show up in the world with your clients, your community, and most importantly, maybe your family and your boys and your wife. Man, I think you're setting such a great example. And like I said, I'm excited for people to be able to hear this and hopefully get some of those gratitude journals going. It seems like a game changer. I kind of have like a similar thing, not exactly, and I'm thinking maybe I need to step it up and put some more time and energy into taking these photos and writing these things down. So I appreciate you so much, and look forward to blasting this out.
Hey man, appreciate you, and keep up all the great work you're doing too. You're helping a lot of people.